1000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the BC. It is Sunday, the 4th of February, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 8 minutes after the hour.
Did you notice his sideburns are starting to get longer?
I'm going to have to tell people about my cruise stories now. Apparently.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Rob,
your
Rob
sideburns
was on
are getting longer and puffier.
Rob was on a cruise last week.
Yeah, we'll tell that story in a bit.
The tan is nice, and it offsets the white jumpsuit in a lovely sort of way. I'm very impressed by that.
That peanut butter and jelly with banana sandwich in the refrigerator.
I don't know whose that is.
That's disgusting.
We'll talk about that later. Let's start with it. You know the numbers to give us a call. You just heard them. Before we get to that, let's start with some news. Have you ever faced a pop-up that wouldn't go away? You try clicking it closed, another one pops up in like a nanosecond. You're annoyed. You reboot the system. That's annoying, sure. But chances are good your experience won't actually land you in jail. Julie Amaro, a substitute teacher in Norwich, Connecticut, has been convicted of impairing the morals of a child and risking injury to a minor by exposing as many as 10 seventh grade students to porn sites. The real short story. Back in October, Amaro was a substitute teacher for a seventh-grade language class at the Kelly Middle School. A few students were crowded around a PC. Some were giggling. She investigated and saw the kids looking at a barrage of graphic, hardcore, pornographic pop-ups. The prosecution says she used the computer to visit porn sites. The defense says it's not true, says the machine was infested with spyware and malware, and that opening the browser caused the computer to go into an endless loop of pop-ups leading to the porn site. And Amaro, exactly, maintains her innocence. She refused offers of a plea bargain and now faces an astonishing 40 years in prison.
So it's 4 years for each of the 10 counts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've seen
okay,
that
first,
happen,
seventh
though.
Graders, like, they don't know better places to go to for porn?
Right. Yeah, how do they know she clicked it and not someone else in the class?
Well, that's just it.
And the thing of it is, though, it's all legit. I mean, there's no child porn. It's all adult porn. Right. Which is legal.
Well, you still can't, except you can't expose children
right.
to that.
Right. No, no. What I'm saying, though, it's still legal to be
she
out
was
there.
The adult.
So these kids, I would go back on the school system because they should be doing a better job of filtering.
Yeah, they should.
Apparently, maybe because she was the adult in the room, she was supposed to prevent it from happening.
Oh, I'm sure that there's a million legal arguments either way. But
That'll get appealed real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. The reality is that who thought that, you know, being the victim of pop-ups could get you 40 years.
Well, I don't think she's going to, only from the standpoint they can turn it around, like I say, and blame it on the school system because evidently they're not doing a very good due diligence in blocking out sites like that.
Right, right.
That'll allow all those pop-ups because I have seen it. I've been at a client's where he clicked on one site and then
you can just misspell something and get caught into it. So it can be completely by accident, too.
Well,
at least that's what I told my wife.
I saw this one guy. He was going to a news article.
Yeah.
To a local paper, and evidently in like the 12 hours that had transpired, the thing had been hacked because he went to click on that same article again to bring it up to show it to me, and literally 25 porn sites popped up.
Yes, happens all the time.
And it's like, hello?
Yeah, what are you going to do? And it doesn't mean you went to any of those places. You got caught by a drive-by download, basically, is what happened to you. And that's too bad. Got one other very funny story. Richard Silver. Do you know Richard Silver?
Not lately.
You don't know Richard Silver? I bet you know what he invented. He is the inventor. Rob has been a DJ for many years, and he's well familiar with Richard Silver and his invention. The electric slide. He invented the dance, the electric slide.
That song makes my skin crawl. Almost as much as the YMCA.
Well, he invented the electric slide, and he has now sued the Ellen DeGeneres show for showing a video of Terry Hatcher dancing the electric slide, for which he got no compensation.
He gets compensation every time that song's played. What's he talking about?
Well, probably he got paid when Terry Hatcher danced to it, but not when Ellen played it.
And no, the other way around. He got compensation for the playing, but not for the dancing. He copyrighted the dance moves.
Performance mark in addition to copyright.
Right,
yeah.
He's got a performance mark on it. She performed it and did not pay him.
You know what, though? In all the weddings that I've DJed and everything like that, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do the electric slide as good as you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, who can dance like... Yeah, here I go.
There you go.
Now, Rob is the DJ. How much of this can you play before you have to send him a royalty check?
Oh, not much. Yeah. I think it's a matter eight of 20 bars. To 30 seconds.
It's 8 bars.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. However, WHAM pays for all the stuff that's
right.
in there.
Right. Radio stations and DJs pay a flat rate every year of, you know, to ASCAP and BMI and CSAC.
God awful amount of money probably for a radio station.
Not horrible. Well, it depends on the radio. A couple hundred dollars, you know. Most DJs, though, don't do that.
Yeah. So they're out there. Not you. You, of course, pay diligently.
Of course.
Yeah, the copyright police.
We're talking about the other ones who don't. Yeah. I know people who subscribe to Disc of the Month sort of clubs where they get music, you know, the new songs every month. And I had an argument with one guy who was saying that covered him for copyright.
A lot
and
of
it
people,
does not.
Right? A lot of people think I belong to a lot of different promo companies as well, and it's not meant for that.
Right.
You have to pay the royalties to redistribute. I mean, it's just like the same people that put music up on websites and things like that. That's a no-no.
Well, we've gotten into some arguments with customers too with restaurants. You put a CD on the stereo system in a restaurant. Even the radio in a restaurant
is a no-no.
Is technically a violation of copyright.
The only company that does that, it covers that, is Muzak.
Right.
That's part of the millions of dollars that you pay to have that service. But anytime you walk into a public place, if it's being played for more than one person, you have to pay the fees.
Well, that was a big question on the videotape. If you ever watched the FBI warnings in front of a movie, public performance is prohibited.
Right.
For years, there was never a definition of public performance.
Right.
A couple of years ago, they defined it as more than 10. So if you have 11 people in your house, in fact, all the Super Bowl parties today, if you have 11 people in your house, that is a public performance, and it is illegal for you to show that show without permission.
The Super Bowl.
You're right.
Well, yeah, most bars and stuff, they have to pay extra for satellite programming if, in fact, it's going to be
viewed by
more than one person.
So you got to hope your bar isn't very popular.
All right, we're going to – is that our music? Is that what I'm hearing?
That is.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Hunka, Hunka Burning Love, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco at 15 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now at 222-11.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton with another wedding song I hate.
I like this one.
Yeah, but when you've heard it every night for the last 3.5 years, it's got to make you crazy. It is 20 minutes after the hour you're listening to Soundbites.
Boy, you just couldn't wait till I got back.
Slid that one right in. Woo! Like butter.
We're nice to Dan, but the gloves are off now. All right.
Well, he's had vacation.
That's right.
He's been sitting around on his butt.
He's been
being
on a
catered
cruise.
To.
He's been on a cruise, for heaven's sake. How does it get any nicer than that?
Fine. I'm not going to give you the Jamaican rum that I brought back for you, then.
Well, see, the problem was there probably weren't that many bikini babes on the cruise because it was full of Elvis impersonators.
Nope. You're wrong. Half the ship was
they
Elvis
were
impersonators.
The impersonators.
The other half of the ship was,
So which were you?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, Nick, I chased around Elvis impersonators the entire cruise.
Now, wait a minute. You came back. You graciously brought the donuts like it was your turn, but you didn't bring photos.
Oh, I got photos, but. Listen to me.
Where are the photos?
No, that's gone now, thanks to this show. Thank you very much. The photos are in a very secure online place that I'm not going to tell you where they are, because the last time I told you where my online photos were...
Ooh, we have a challenge.
They ended up on your website.
We have a challenge.
And there are photos that
Let's
should
see,
not end
Flickr,
up on your website.
Photo, YouTube.
YouTube.
MySpace.
MySpace, yeah. We'll have it cracked by the end of the show.
Probably MySpace.
Yeah. Speaking of cracked... Dolphin Stadium may be the site of this Sunday's Super Bowl, but the website should be avoided like the plague. Users browsing the internet, perhaps innocently looking up a seating chart at Dolphin Stadium in Miami, could be in a lot of trouble because malicious code was discovered on the website for Dolphin Stadium. WebSense Security Labs has urged web users to avoid that site completely until the site has been scrubbed clean of all destructive code. They're saying that it is cleaned up now, but if you went there at any time in the last couple of weeks, you really should be running the Dance the Tango. You'll have they should last about the same amount of time, shouldn't they?
Here's a picture of Rob Linton on his drum kit.
There we go.
Yeah, if you Google my name, it's really interesting what comes up. Yeah. It's like I'm apparently a drummer.
Yeah, and, we got a picture of it. You drumming.
Yep, in Vancouver.
Never touched
drums. But you
drums.
Shaved your goatee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I made sure that the pictures were hidden and named something you guys will never guess. On purpose. I thought of this ahead of time.
Then how are we going to see what happened in your vacation?
Mrs. Linton, please give us a call.
Oh, no.
Your mom doesn't,
she doesn't know where they are either.
She might be able to give us hints.
Yeah, right.
Any friend of Rob's who knows where these pictures are, send us a note. I think the entire group of Soundbites folks who are on the chat line are looking. We do have a chat line up, by the way. The address for that is posted on our website at soundbites.org, but if you'd like it right now, it's nickf.com/x7chat2, x7chat2. So we should
repeat, yes, the archive server is down.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it's the hard drive. I've gotten off at everything I could. I've had all the old shows, so that's not a big deal. But I was trying to get some other stuff off of it, and it may be the controller, but I'm pretty sure it's the hard drive. So we just have to replace the hard drive now, and that's just something.
When you get around to it, when you finish all your regular work and your regular family work.
Right.
Well, we got to get the money for a new hard drive.
I got to buy the hard drive. So we'll get it up as soon as we can, and once it is up, we'll be making sure that everything is properly posted and everything else. So we are working on it, rest assured. And now, do I have time to go to the phone now that we've frittered away all this stuff? Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Our first caller is Dick from Fairport. Welcome, Dick. What's your question?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Hey, I got a broadband versus dial-up question.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
With my company, I have to dial into their network.
Sure.
And then, of course, for my own stuff, I have Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is that occasionally when I'm, connected through work, I can get out to the internet through their connection as well. How can I control that and only have it go off over my broadband?
You may not be able to.
Yeah,
you'd have to set up custom routing tables in your host file, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You can set up custom routing tables under Windows, but that's not something we can even begin to cover in the full 2 hours of this show. But it is doable if you really need to get to that point. The better question, though, is can you VPN into your company instead of using dial-up?
Yeah, if they've got internet service.
It's an option, but it's not one that I'm currently using.
Well, my point being that if you VPN in, then you do that through your broadband, means your work experience is much faster, and mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about dial-up again.
Oh, yeah. I realize all that. Yeah. I appreciate that. But I think
it can be done. It just is not.
Yeah, it's not something. It's not easy.
Yeah, it's just not easy.
You got to take some work and trial and error.
I know if I leave a couple of windows open before I do my dial up, or if I'm an old AOL user as well, and if I open up AOL prior to going in to my dial up connection. My internet seems to work okay, but
right, and that's because you've set it up ahead of time, and it's decided to use that route.
Can you change the order of the connections in Windows?
Use
broadband first, and then you can do that on the Mac. Use broadband first, and then the modem.
I don't think you can.
No.
So if it can't find it on your broadband, then it looks on the modem.
Yeah, no. All you can do is PC say use dial-up if networking is not available.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So. My problem there is occasionally what happens is someone, you know, you go to one site and it'll automatically open up another internet window for you. And right. that one may go over the other, you know. Over
right.
The
I,
other
I do understand what the problem is. Yeah. The deal is it can be done. It just cannot be done
easily.
And it's not something we can explain
or
over
quickly.
The phone.
And it's probably not worth the exercise to go through then.
Well, but, it would be a whole lot easier to move to VPN.
Yeah. I was hoping, you know, there was a table entry out there somewhere.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. For those of you who don't know what VPN is, it's a virtual private network. What you basically do is you set up a system on your machine at your office, say. Not your machine, but the network at your office. And you then have a connection from your desktop back to that office. And although it runs over the internet, it's basically tunneled into the internet and encrypted so no one else can read it. It's as if you were at work on your internal work network, but you're doing it from over the internet.
Yeah, it used to be that companies would have banks of modems so you could dial into your company
right.
to access the
and
company
And that sounds
work.
Like what his company still doing.
Right, and with the advent of the public internet being so common now that you do it over the internet and don't need to have banks of modems, it's a lot cheaper for the companies too.
Right, exactly. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes. With Mr. Dave Enright, Mr. Steve Ray, the great and powerful Rob Linton, who is now back.
Why are you laughing?
From
because I recognize the reference.
It was just the reference recognition. And of course,
I don't get it.
He's too young.
And me, Nick Francesco. It's the great and powerful. Never mind. And of course, Mr. Glenn Lamberts will be in to give us the news.
He's great and
weather.
Powerful.
He is great and powerful. But he doesn't need us to stroke his ego and tell him that. So or perhaps he does. Apparently he does. I was confused about that for a moment. We'll be back on the other side of the news with the longest running and coolest computer show in the known universe. And that's us. That's Soundbites. We are right here exclusively on 1180 WHAM. Take it away, Glenn.
Wham's Michael Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Apple and Cisco, of course, have been having some negotiations going on because it appears that Cisco had already trademarked the name iPhone.
Well, they bought a company that owned the trademark.
Yeah, right. But a while ago,
yeah, that was one of Apple's points, is that, you know, they didn't renew that trademark in the required time.
Well, but that's of course for the lawyers to all figure out. Apple has asked for a last minute extension to the January 31 deadline for replying to the suit. In a joint statement, they have agreed to a new deadline of February 15th. This is their first real official legal response. Their initial response was a whole lot more casual. Basically, they just said, oh, we think the Cisco lawsuit is silly.
There's a lot of people already using the iPhone name. We're going to be one of them.
Right. There's a bunch of them. We're just going to be another one.
Well, they were saying that the current products that use the iPhone name are voice over IP telephones that run on the internet.
Right.
They're the only one that's a cell phone, so that's okay.
Yeah, right. Ah. That's the thing. Well, I think that Cisco's then going to have to go after all the rest to legitimize their claim to the name. I mean, they can't just leave it lay.
They're just going for the big one.
Right. They'll start with that, but they got to move on from there. So the aim of the extension is to allow more time for discussion between the two companies to try to reach an agreement. So we'll see what's going on about that. They both seem to be open to negotiate. I mean, this doesn't strike me as one of those, you know, sharks going after each other with laser guns. It's just, you know, we've got a problem. Let's settle it.
The bigger irony is that the iPhone name was just a rumor on the internet of an Apple-branded cell phone. And the rumor people made up iPhone because of the iMac and the iPod. Well, let's call it the iPhone.
Right.
And it shocked everyone that Apple chose that name to begin with.
Yeah, right.
And, they did the same thing with their TV product. They had something called a code name to ITV. That lets you watch your computer video on a TV.
Right.
When they released the product, they named it Apple TV. Actually, that's been another issue, is that they're using the Apple symbol TV, not the word Apple TV.
Right.
So we're not sure, do we call it Apple Symbol TV or do we call it Apple TV? It's like when Prince changed his name.
Right.
But, you know, the three or four other products that were already named ITV, there's a television network in England that's named ITV. In fact, the added confusion
Well, ITV is...
There's a product from Elgato called EYE-TV, ITV. That's the opposite of Apple's product. It brings TV into your Mac. The Apple product takes your Mac and puts it on a TV. So they actually work together, but they're opposite devices.
But ITV is Lord Lou Grade, right? He's the guy who produced the Muppets. He's the guy who produced half the cool stuff we watch. We watched as we were kids.
No,
Thunderbirds.
ITC.
And... Oh, you're right. All right. All right, and it was something like that. I don't care. I was young. I was stupid. What did I know? I was young. I was happy. Who knew? It was a mistake I made in my childhood.
Get over it. I was 12 years old. You know, no, that was something else.
I was watching Born in seventh grade. What do I know?
So it's you know, naming conventions are a huge issue when someone tries to make a name. And in fact, it's been compounded by the internet. You just can't come up with a good name yourself in your own city now. You got to make sure the domain is available in the world.
Right, exactly. Exactly. All right. Our next caller is Bill from Leroy, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
An Apple iMac here, and I can't get it to turn on.
What happens when you try?
Well, it comes. I turn it on. It comes up to a screen actually, and it just the cursor is constantly loading, and it's a gray, black, and gray and white.
Okay.
I tried upgrading. It's a server software, I guess. I had the computer given to me, and it worked. I got Roadrunner installed on it and everything. And I was upgrading it from a 10.3 to a 10.3.2, trying to get it, just trying to upgrade it. And I restarted it, and the internet did not work. And I restarted it again, and it wouldn't. That was it. It doesn't do anything.
All right, so it sounds like it is turning on, but it won't boot, which is a different problem.
Yeah, so.
Basically, what it sounds like now, there's something corrupted in the operating system.
Okay.
If you hold down Command V while you turn it on, it enters a verbose boot mode, and you see all the Unix commands going by.
Okay.
That's fun to watch, but usually doesn't help you any unless you know Unix. But it scares people when I do that on their Mac and they see this Unix screen come up. Oh, my goodness, what's that? Well, I told it to do that.
Yeah.
But at this point, what?
Well, there's your problem. You got Unix stuck in your Mac.
Yeah.
That's what. Well, there's your problem.
Mac. Yeah, at this point, what you can try doing is there's a procedure called archive install the operating system.
Okay.
Boot your system CD, and under options, there's an archive install, and that removes the, well, it doesn't remove, it sets aside the old operating system and puts a brand new operating system in, hopefully uncorrupted.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. There you
go. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, the spinning wheel of death, we sometimes call that.
Sure, that's what I would have called
it. But it's a gray screen, so it's...
No, it's not the blue screen of death. It's the gray screen of death.
Gray spinning wheel of
death.
That's
your first American movie?
Which is different from the beach ball of death.
All right, we're gonna take a break while we beat Steve. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 43 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. The reason I hesitated is I waited to hear what the song was. I didn't know it was going to be another Elvis. Thank you. See?
The
That's
love
what
bone.
I was waiting for. Here we go.
Love. Exciting and new.
Yeah, baby.
How I wish I was back with all those Elvis impersonators.
Tell us, it was a whole boat full of Elvis impersonators.
Let's see, music and lyrics by Charles Fox and Paul... Whoop, I lost the name. Come on.
Well, last year when I went on... I've been on two now. And last year when I went on it was a farmer's convention. So that was interesting. Everybody was in bed by 7. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You go from one extreme to the other.
That's right. So that was, you know, it was kind of quiet, you know, last year. This year, I get on the ship and it's like, oh, good. What are we going to have now? And I didn't see anything right away. And we go down into one of the lounges and welcome, you know, there's a sign, welcome Elvis Impersonators of America.
Don't you know this before you sign up the cruises?
No, they don't tell you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They don't want you to know.
See, I've never been on a cruise.
Were they all old, fat Elvis, or were there some young Elvises, too?
There was Elvis impersonators that came in every single possible form.
I like the women ones.
Yep, there were a couple of those. There were a couple of those. And it got a little creepy because one of the guys was on my tour bus. You know, I was just weird.
In costume?
And, well, I mean, these people are for real. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they grow their real hair.
I understand that, yes.
I mean, this guy had his real hair grown. I mean, this guy looked the part.
Like Elvis. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he had the sunglasses on, and he sat in front of us when we were in Jamaica, and it was unbelievable. And he talks like it, too. You know, it's just like, oh, shut up. You don't really talk like that. Yeah. So, that was the fun. I can't wait to see what it'll be the next time I go.
Now, you gotta watch the movie Bubba Hotep with Bruce Davidson. An Elvis.
What?
Bubba Hotep. Elvis.
Bruce Campbell?
Bruce Campbell, thank you, yeah. Bruce Davidson's in Galactica next week.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
So, yeah, Bruce Campbell, it's as an Elvis.
Bruce Davidson, who's not Ed Begley Jr., Elaine.
Yeah.
The interesting part about it is, and I thought about you, Steve, because these people with Elvis were just like you with Star Trek, okay? I mean, the women were on this, and Elvis, it's like, it's not the real one, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they know everything.
Oh. That's one of the back premises of this movie, Bubba Hotep, that Bruce Campbell plays Elvis, the real Elvis.
Yeah.
He retired from stage by switching places with an Elvis impersonator. And then he ends up falling off a stage during an Elvis impersonation show because he's with the real Elvis.
Yeah.
And ends up in a nursing home being attacked by Egyptian zombies.
Well,
Bubba Hotep.
It was interesting.
In deep South Texas, there's the Bubba.
I don't want to ever hear Can't Help Falling in Love ever again.
Can't help falling in love.
It wasn't just one night. Okay, one night of the cruise I could have taken it. You know what I'm saying? But every night of the cruise, it was like they were singing karaoke in there. It was horrible.
You know what we need?
Well, I believe
we need a Soundbites cruise.
Yeah.
Geek cruise. No, geekcruises.com. There's a guy that organizes computer cruises.
We need one for Soundbites.
You guys would have gone nuts because the ship-to-shore satellite internet was worse than 56K dial-up.
Yeah, I bet it was.
I mean, it was absolutely horrible. But there were still people down there paying, $25 a minute.
Yipe.
It wasn't really that much, but to be on the internet, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
I bet it was.
A Soundbites cruise, though. Oh, my Lord.
Wouldn't that be great?
Can you imagine?
Wouldn't that be great?
Wow. Well, it's on the Macworld podcast I was listening to recently, they were just talking about the latest Macmania cruise, and they were interviewing the organizer of Geek Cruises, and he said they have a Pearl cruise coming up, and what's the other new hot language they're using?
Ruby.
Ruby, yeah. So Pearl and Ruby cruise, so that'd be really some deep geeks.
Oh, that would be
Well, it'd be kind of interesting, too, because, I mean, these ships hold anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of geeks in one place.
Yeah, but I can't ride my Harley.
Yeah. Well, the next Macmania cruise goes to Alaska in May, and then there's a Linux Lunacy cruise also going to Alaska in September.
I love how they're going to cold places.
Yeah, right.
I've never understood that, taking a cruise to a cold place when you live
People
in Rochester.
People want to go with whales. They want to see whales. And
the scenery up in Alaska is just pristine.
I saw whales
and
dolphins when I was in the Caribbean.
Okay, but you didn't see the cold whales.
Go to the Opera Cruise in the Baltic Sea.
The Opera Cruise.
Yeah. Shakespeare at Sea in the Southern Caribbean. Oh, here we go. The Chess Cruise.
Oh, now we're talking.
Through the Eastern Caribbean.
There are no geeks like chess geeks.
And then there's the Photoshop Fling in the Eastern Caribbean.
All these just confirm and what you tell me, Rob.
Yeah.
The reasons I don't want to ever go on a cruise.
Well, they're fun.
You know, there's so many other places I can go see in the U.S., before I'd ever want to go on a cruise.
There's 5,000 people on the ship and only a couple 300, maybe 500 at most. So less than 10% of the cruise is actually the strange people. But they seem so much more.
It's always interesting to see what kind of people get on these things. Because, there are people from all walks of life.
Yeah, but then you're trapped.
On their
website. You can't get off.
And we're talking about people who've actually retired to cruise ships. They say it's as cheap for them to live from cruise to cruise as it is to buy a retirement home or whatever it is and do all of that, and they just live from cruise to cruise.
These cruise lines do not make their money off tickets, okay? They make their money off the $5 to $10 a piece cocktails.
Right,
And the shore excursions. I mean, we went into Jamaica and did a whole bunch of cool stuff, and what was actually interesting was that in Jamaica, they have military and police to keep the citizens away from the tourists.
Wow.
Oh, really?
It was very bizarre because of the alternative recreational thing.
Usage?
The potential for...
That could be... Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And well, they strip searched us getting back on the ship to make sure we didn't have any. Wow. Not literally, but, you know.
On their website, they have a section called Convincing Your Spouse.
Very nice.
Which site?
The Geek Cruises.
Oh.
And a testimonial from Leo Laporte.
which isn't going to do a lot to...
Well,
really...
he's on almost all of the Geek Cruises.
Well, exactly. You know what I say we do? I say we try to get Jeff Holla to let us broadcast from the cruise ship.
I love this idea.
Yes.
All right. Let's start a writing campaign. No, because Argyle was listening. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Headwright, Steve Ray, Rob Lind, and me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 50 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. This music. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 55 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites.
That's all, folks.
You know what? I think we have more fun than any other show on this radio station, and I think we should get all sorts of awards for that.
I think we should. I don't know if they have awards for the sort of things we do, but we have awards. Speaking of the things we do, kiddies, it's time to sit back, relax, and rest. Put on your footy jammies. Get your cup of hot cocoa, grab your teddy, and sit in a semicircle around the
grab
old
your
rocker.
Teddy.
Teddy bear. Teddy bear. You are the most disgusting human being I've ever met.
I like his image.
And if we can wake up Uncle Dave, it's time for story
he
hour.
He did with Teddy.
With Uncle Dave.
Hello. That got me awake. All right, this week's thing, I got to warn folks. In case they didn't see it.
Send the children into another room. Apparently, this isn't a kiddie story hour.
Yeah. No, this one will be. Because it was a big non-event.
Yeah.
I mean, if you folks notice, you know, Microsoft would like you to believe, and again, this is not to pick on them. They were hyping how much, you know, Vista was going to be this big event. But yet, you watch the news, and after they rolled out Vista, they were having a hard time finding people. Especially like here in Rochester, they had a store open, and they opened up at 10 o'clock and was staying open to 2, so folks could be the first on their block to buy Vista. The news people were having a hard time just going around trying to find one person buying Vista.
Was it 95 or 98 that we were at?
98.
98. We were at Egghead for the night, and we made bacon and eggs. The place was packed.
It was jammed.
Packed. And people were all saying, and I asked everybody, I said, are you now, it's midnight, you just bought this thing, are you going to go home and install it? No, I'm going to wait for 4th of July weekend when I've got time. Then what did you have to be here now for? Well,
just to be a
part of the party.
But here's the other thing, though, folks, that I'm going to warn you about, and this is just a helpful hint. If you're thinking of upgrading your system to Vista, now here's the key.
Don't.
You can go ahead. Well, they're going to be. I already got 2 machines in right now that have tried to do Vista the upgrading and they failed. Because they'll tell Microsoft has a website you can go to and it'll test your system. And it says, yeah, it should be able to handle it. But you got to scroll down to see the other check marks because it'll say, yes, it can handle it. But, oh, by the way, you're going to have to get all these driver updates for like the video, the motherboard, the sound card, and everything else.
And those companies may not have released Vista drivers yet.
And exactly. So before you do this, make sure you have all those drivers.
All righty. It's time for us to give Uncle Dave his tranquilizer shot. We'll be back on the other side. Right now, Glenn Lamberts is going to be coming in. He's going to be talking about the news and the weather and the sports and everything else. Dave's looking at me like, tranquilizer shot? Can I get it now? Can I just have that? I just want that right now. But we're gonna. It's time to put away your footy jammies and your hot cocoa and your teddy, and move on. Look at him. He's amused. He's highly amused. I meant teddy bear, as in your little toy bear, for Pete's sake. Glenn Lamberts is in with the news on the other side of it. We're going to be back. And who are we? Well, I'm Nick Francesco. We have Dave tranquilized. You can hear him snoring in the background now. And right, we have Steve Ray. We have, of course, the mighty and courageous Rob Linton, who comes in and does this whether we like it or not. And that seems to be that. When we come back on the other side, you know what? I'm going to do this now because I'm not going to wait. Microsoft Word. I'm just going to say it. I don't care. I'm the guy. I'm standing here. Microsoft Word has an open XML tool all of a sudden. I'm very impressed by this, actually. It lets you open and run open office type, open document files, which they it's nice to see that Microsoft is moving into the open document format world so that more people can trade those things together across from each other. I wanted to say that for two segments now. I never got to it, and I said it. You wait for me. That's what I'm here for. I do this. This is what I do. I talk on the air. Get over it. We'll be back just a couple. All right, I'm getting the skank guy now. We got to go. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. It's 59 minutes after the hour. Glenn Lamberts is in. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to the second hour of Soundbites, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 7 minutes after the hour, it is Soundbites. What?
Nothing.
Oh, you're planning something, I can tell.
No.
All right, before
He's
we get...
He's just reminiscing of his great Elvis cruise.
Yeah. That's why he looks so happy.
Missing all those Elvis impersonators.
Not really.
Yeah. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you, every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about software compatibility under Vista. 346 of you voted, making it number 87 on the all-time hit list. Thank you. And the overwhelming majority of you, 48% of you, said, I'll let someone else be the pioneer, followed by the Linux, followed by, the question was, I worry about software compatibility under Vista, followed by everywhere, followed by the Macintosh, followed by not enough to stop me, only at home, only at work. Never, I only run Microsoft software. Three people said that.
Well, Microsoft's own software doesn't work under Vista in a lot of cases. So everyone should be worried about software compatibility
under Vista. Well, FrontPage right now won't work.
Right. A whole bunch of programs won't work. A whole bunch of programs. Make sure that you have verification from the manufacturer of all of the programs you run that they will be compatible under Vista when you upgrade today. Not in the future, but now, today, before you upgrade.
We went through this with the XP upgrade, too. If you've bought a name brand computer, Dell, HP, Compaq, their website will have information about your computer and what you have to do for Vista.
Right.
With home-built computers or smaller custom computers, you'll have to go to the manufacturer of your motherboard, your graphic card, your sound card, your video card, all individually, and find upgraded Vista drivers.
In addition to that, all of the software that you run, you have to go individually to each of those websites to see if they are, at this moment, Vista compatible.
One other thing I learned, we were talking last week about Office 2007.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the CDs.
Nice.
In other words, and you're going to probably have to get it too, Steve, is as us as distributors, we have to buy this kit.
That always annoyed us, is the OEM kit. We don't get a copy ourselves.
So we get the kit now, and it comes pre-installed. All you will get is a sticker for the license for Office 2007. So we have to install it on there, and then you've got to activate it.
Which means we have to buy a copy to get the disc.
No. You can get an through your distributors?
Right, yeah, but the OEM copies, we have to open the OEM copy to get the disc out so we can install it on somebody's machine.
No, they've got...
They've changed that now?
Yeah, they're doing this whole different thing where the us as OEMs have to get this kit, and it's got all the different versions, and based upon what version the person wants to buy is what you put on and activate. And all they get is the activation code.
Right.
So if they want to buy, get the CDs, it's an additional, I think, $75 to try to get the CDs from Microsoft on top of what you already paid for Office.
All right. I have no idea how we got off on that because it has nothing to do with this week's poll.
Well, it's but all more poll, to do with Office. I mean, and parts of it aren't even working.
Last week's poll.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
This week's poll is about YouTube. It appears that Viacom International, the media conglomerate, will be suing YouTube if they don't take off over 100,000 clips from their shows. Now, Viacom owns Comedy Central, MTV, Nick at Night, Nickelodeon, Paramount Pictures, and VH1. And they'd been discussing with both Google and YouTube getting all their stuff off, which could mean the end of the second-day look at comedy clips from The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. I know, Dan just woke up.
I was watching an old Foster Brooks and Dean Martin one.
There you go. But the consequences are that, you know, there could be some pretty serious repercussions on this. And they have a right. It's their copyright and stuff like that. Well, but my question for what?
So that was the quote I found earlier from Viacom, which it's the common mistake most people make, that they just don't get what copyright is. Viacom says YouTube is saying it's unfortunate that Viacom will no longer be able to benefit from YouTube's right. passionate audience, which has helped promote Viacom shows. Doesn't matter if they're promoting the show. You're still illegally posting it.
Right. So the thing the poll this week is about YouTube. And the question is, I watch TV shows on YouTube. The choices are all the time. Once in a while, rarely, and YouTube. So far, we've had, it's very slow to update, 101 people who voted. The 50% of you exactly say YouTube. When you're done with that, giving your answer to the poll, you'll see a little yellow box underneath it. Click Give Us Your Opinion. It takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
All righty then.
I miss that show.
I can see that you would. Where you can leave an actual opinion. So far, 7 people have posted their opinion. So you can do that. Take a look around at the stuff I do on my website. I put out a newsletter. We have forums where people talk. I do all kinds of interesting things. You can search all my old Q&As. You have to join to do that, but it's only $15 a year. What could be cheaper than that? And when you're done with that, come on back to the Soundbites website and join some of the funniest people and most interesting people on earth in the forums and like that. So do all that for us. We are going to get back to the phones, to the folks who've been quietly waiting patiently for the last, I don't know, couple hours. Our next caller is Dave from Farmington. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Well, I'm one of the Fairport first robotics team advisors, and they're putting together
there you
a
go.
Video. For the competition, they're using that Autodesk 3D Max Movie Maker, and they want to put some of their music to the background. And,
right.
and if it's your whole movie, you know, it's no big deal. But I have been telling them that I don't know if they have to get permission. It's only a 30-second stint, but I was just wondering what the laws are, how long you can play sound or, I guess, music without.
Yeah, well, the first thing you have to understand is we are not lawyers. We don't even play them on television anymore.
Yeah. And the basic tenet is if you did not create it, you cannot use it, period.
Right.
Uh-huh. There are some exceptions under fair use for commentary if you're a news reviewer, for parody if you're a comedian, and what was the third one? Education if you're a teacher.
Right. And then you can play up to 8 bars before anybody really gets upset, but past that is a problem. And if they want to take you to court anyway, you're going to have to do a lot of proving. So if you're going to use music, you need to use either music that's out of copyright or stuff that you wrote.
Well, there's a new class coming out now. They're calling it PodSafe music. Because of all the podcasting that's available, and a lot of people want to put music in their podcasts, there is a royalty-free or low-cost license for PodSafe music, music you can download and legally use in podcasts. And
not everybody subscribes to that,
right?
But if they do, you can do that.
So,
but
yeah,
there's your story, Dave. It's unlikely that it will be.
Yeah, if you didn't create it, you cannot use it. Is sort of the bottom line.
Name of the game.
Yeah. Sorry. Wish it were different, but generally the most popular stuff somebody paid for. You know, yep. they paid to create it in terms of their life and their talent and they deserve to get a return on that investment.
And that's usually what you don't hear is the people that actually created the content. You know, you're stealing their life.
Yeah, except they're the ones who don't get most of the money. But we won't go there right now. Let's not go there
that's
for now.
Other.
Our next caller is Glenn from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Glenn. What's your question?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My sister's having a problem with her system.
Yeah, it's never you, is it?
No, it's not me.
Yeah. It's my sister, really.
Wink.
I probably could be able to fix it, but I don't know. It's the eTrust pest control,
mm-hmm.
and it's from Frontier, I guess, and they spent 5 hours trying to delete it because it's giving her a problem getting onto the internet, and the message is that HPP blocking firewall.
So has she tried running into the Tango stuff?
No, she hasn't done that.
Yeah.
What is her firewall?
I'm taking it. This eTrust was the pest control. Was it?
That's an anti-spyware program or antivirus program. I don't think it's a firewall.
I don't think it's a firewall. Firewall would be a separate product. What operating system are you running?
XP. She's running XP.
Check to see if the XP firewall is turned on.
Yeah.
Okay. How does she navigate to that?
Well, if you go into the control panel, there's an icon there. If she's running Service Pack 2, there's the security one, and it'll tell her right there, or one for the firewall. And it clicks on it, and it'll show, when she clicks on firewall, whether it's on or off.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, she could have ePest Control, though, does have, I believe, a firewall program built into that, too, depending on how much of the package she downloaded.
All right.
There is some spyware out right now that's pretending that you're infected, and yeah, you've got to get it, undo this firewall so you can get the patches and have them do it. That's another one of these scams where they want you to buy their product, but they are the one that infected you.
And she has to get the system reloaded, basically.
No, if she...
that's often the easiest thing for a home user to do is erase and start over again.
But
it's not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, we do cleanups weekly, as systems.
So I'm looking at mine right now at the security center. It says my firewall is on. And mm-hmm. so you're saying that hers could be off.
Hers could be on or off.
Or it got infested.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Or got infested.
And if it's on, it could be blocking too much.
But right. If you can download all the Tango things with the updates and then, burn it to CD, take it over to her machine and clean it up for her, she probably wouldn't have to reload everything.
Just tango.com, right?
SecurityTango.com.
Okay. Now, is there a way with XP to do a full system restore?
With XP, you can do a restore, but see, if the spyware is on there, that's the key thing. If the spyware is on there, it's still going to be on there even if you do a restore.
Yeah, so if what some people end up doing is erase the hard drive and install from scratch. If you bought a name brand computer, you may have a restore disk that will erase your hard drive and restore it to as if you just bought it.
Especially eMachines, HPs, Compaqs. Although Compaq's gotten better. They've got
a partition now. It's not a disk. It's a secret partition on the hard drive. So that's possible, but usually not necessary if you have the technical skill, and that's where we come in.
That's us. That's what we do.
Yep.
Right, exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules.
Whoa.
1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
List. Who's on that list is a matter of grave importance.
There we go. Now we're talking. Welcome back. Here is your list. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And if 24 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites on 1180.
Can I ask you
what would it be?
What?
The big thing for heroes right now is who's your daddy? But Claire's got to find out who her daddy is. You got to watch Heroes.
She's going to meet her mommy this week.
She's meeting her mother this week.
She doesn't know where her father is.
Well, I think she's already met her mother.
Dan has 100,000. No, she'll meet her this week. Dan has 100,000 brilliant theories, all of which will be wrong at some point.
It's going to be interesting.
Oh!
Can we see a rerun of that?
Yeah.
Well, see, I wonder if the writers even know what's going to happen next week.
Yeah, right.
Because a lot of these shows, they say the same thing about Lost. The actors don't know what's going to happen next week until they get their script, and sometimes even that's wrong.
Well, Lost has jumped the shark. It's way past anything I want to watch anymore. But Heroes,
I saw Henry Winkler being interviewed yesterday talking about the jump the shark thing.
Yeah.
He was a camp counselor and taught water skiing. He did all of his own water skiing in that episode, except the actual jumping the shark.
Yeah, right. Well, what's interesting here is that as customers line up to buy new PCs capable of running Vista, vendors like Dell and Hewlett-Packard are preparing to process a surge of discarded, outmoded computers. Dell is advising customers running Vista Premium to use a PC loaded with a dual-core processor and 2 gigabytes of memory. As customers upgrade to meet the new standard, they face the question of how to dispose of their outmoded machines without dumping toxic lead, mercury, cadmium, and chromium into local landfills.
Which is something to remember. You cannot put electronic components and computers in your normal garbage. They are hazardous waste.
They are hazardous waste. I don't think that's a problem. I never put anything out to the curb that didn't disappear within an hour.
Yeah.
So
same here.
I don't think that's a problem, but it's too early to tell if Vista adoptions are fast enough to drive a surge in consumer recycling. But Dell said that it recorded an increase from 22.7 million pounds to 39 million pounds. The challenge in predicting future rates is that individuals don't always dispose of their old hardware immediately. That's a reminder to all of you that we have a site here on the Soundbites page. There's a page that talks about where do you recycle your stuff. It's part of the FAQs. So if you're looking to recycle things and get them into the hands of a couple of good charities.
We should remind folks, though, again, the archive server is down. We're working on it. So, because I've been...
recycle some of those old last year computers our way so we can get the system back up and
because
running.
Because if I've answered one, I've answered at least 50 emails this week. Oh, I can't get to the archive server. Yes. If you went into the forums, you'd know it's down. We're working on it.
Yeah, a lot of people only get us through the archives and the forums, but you'd think they'd go into the forums to find out.
Yeah, because we posted it.
They go into the forums and post, you know, I can't get to the server. And then there's 15 responses saying, yeah, see these 20 other posts that say the server's down.
Right. All right, our next...
Well, actually, let me back up half a step.
All right.
There is a local company in town, Rochester Computer Recycling and Recovery.
Yep.
They have offices downtown on Central Avenue and in Victor on Route 251 at 96.
And Mike Recycle's still doing stuff.
Well, the Rochester Computer Recycling will take broken computers and recycle their components. So they strip it to the components and recycle the hazardous materials themselves.
Right. All right. Our next caller is Frank from Greece, New York. Welcome, Frank. What's your question? Frank, are you there? Frank? Going once? Going twice? We have no Frank. Our next caller is Mike from Ontario, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hello. I think you have a very interesting and informative show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I've got the Microsoft Word 2000, and I'm unable to access my files.
What happens when you try?
Yeah, what happens?
Well, I get this fatal exception, OD error.
One of the simple things to try to do is if you go to the Start button, you go to Search, and do a search for normal.dot. And if you find that file, what you do is delete it. You don't even have to rename it. Delete it. And then you try to reopen Word, and it usually will correct the issue.
Well, it also says dangerously low in resources. Pop Roxy.
How much memory do you have in your computer?
RAM?
Yeah.
Well, 128.
That's dangerously low.
What operating system you're running?
Microsoft 98.
That's good.
That's pretty low. 256 is better.
Not for 98. 98 only.
Well, he's running Office 2000, which is a hefty program.
Yeah, it's a hefty program, but 98 though has the 128 barrier.
256 barrier, wasn't it?
No, yeah. 128.
At any rate, here's the deal. The problem is if you've got a minimum amount of RAM, and if you have a bunch of other things running, you will not be able to open large documents.
PopProxy is a part of the Norton Antivirus email check. It's Post Office Proxy, P.O. Proxy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you've got Norton running in the background. Maybe you've got a virus Norton can't remove, and that's what's getting you the error, too.
But the big thing is if you're running Norton in the background and you've got the entire Norton suite running, it's by itself taking up a significant piece of that 128 meg.
Okay, well, the thing is, I've haven't added anything on it, and I've been, you know, running it ever since I got the machine.
Try looking for the normal .dot, erasing that, and see if it'll run then.
And things accumulate. It can be working fine. It works fine for years until it doesn't.
Right. But try that first. Start with the normal .dot, erase that, put it back, see what happens, let us know.
Yeah, you erase it and restart Word and see if it comes.
All right. Our next caller is Gil from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gil. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Say, so Nick, I know you run Ubuntu.
I do.
On your laptop, so this is kind of directed toward you. So I took heart and put Ubuntu on a machine and been running it a little while now. And I'm curious about the security protection you need. So there are a lot of free programs out there and so forth. And you know, I assume that the Ubuntu community checks these things, that they're not basically embedded spyware or something like that.
Yep.
But so, you know, if first off, is that the case? And secondly, what would you put on, or what do you put on your machine to kind of protect things for antivirus and whatever
All right.
else?
There's two things. First, anything that you get through Aptitude, or what they're now calling the Synaptic Package Manager,
yep.
has been checked, and it is known good.
Great.
So if you're pulling it down through Synaptic, you are clean.
Yep, I am.
So that's that. So the second thing is, what do you use? The Ubuntu system comes with a product called Clam AV, Clam Antivirus. It's phenomenal. I run it daily. It's called Clam AV.
Yep, I've seen it on there. Great.
Yep, it's a great product. What's interesting is we Linux folks are in the same boat as the Mac folks. There are very, very few viruses that actually will attack our systems. Steve would prefer I say none, but I will say very, very few. However,
none as yet for
as
the
yet,
Mac.
Right.
There are a couple of Linux ones.
Right. Which means that they also will hit the Linux.
Well, that's MacBSD. It's slightly different. Yeah.
But the point is, it doesn't matter. The point here is you want to be a good network citizen and keep your machine clean. So if you get an email that might have had a virus, even though it doesn't hurt you, you don't want to risk passing it on to someone else. So running Clam AV will do it. And when you install Clam AV, it installs not just Clam AV, but also something called Fresh Clam, which, you know, every day goes out and checks to see if there's an upgrade needed and loads it for you. So Clam is the one I use, and it works pretty nicely.
And they also have a Mac version, Clam AV X.
Right. Right, which is an excellent product. It is free. It is well kept up. It's a good product.
Yeah, sounds really good. So I put Linux on one machine, and basically I run my email and I run my browser on that machine.
Perfect.
And then I try to keep the Windows machine isolated. Does that sound about like the right thing?
It sounds exactly like the right thing. So what it sounds like is you're not using the Linux machine the Windows machine for too much anymore.
I'm trying not to.
There you go.
Switched over to OpenOffice and so forth and so on. So
there you go. Even if you're going to run Windows, don't run Internet Explorer and don't run Outlook Express, and try not to run Microsoft Office.
Right.
OpenOffice will run all the same programs that Microsoft Office does, but without a lot of the potential holes. Firefox, of course, would be the one you use instead of Internet Explorer. And Thunderbird would be a product you could use instead of Outlook Express. All right. Thank you, Gil. Sounds like you're on the right track. Drink the Kool-Aid. Drink the Kool-Aid. Our next caller is Jim on a cell phone. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I got a big problem.
Uh-oh.
I can't stop listening to the show.
We're not a 12-step program, Jim, for Pete's sake.
No. I'm not on a cell phone, but anyways.
Oh.
The person called before about Pest Patrol.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the guys that went and did the download of Vista over the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, of course, I blew off all the things that say check this, check that, and everything, and I just downloaded it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem I had was, and of course you're supposed to shut off everything,
yeah.
but I had some music on AOL.
Yeah.
The only thing it did was it took over AOL as my Internet Explorer, and I'm getting to the Pest Patrol problem, but just real fast, there's a lot of people on the Vista forums, and a lot of people, if you just Google It's called the Internet Explorer has stopped working, and that kept coming up, and I couldn't validate my problem. I couldn't validate my new Vista, you know, that I bought.
Yep.
And it took 3 hours talking to a tech from Microsoft, which is free for the first 90 days. Anyways, while we were in startup and all these things, we in MS Config,
yep,
startup, we went over to the next tab, services.
Yep.
And in there, I saw Pest Patrol. I've never downloaded it or anything. Saw it in there, and that was one of the things we unchecked. And so that, I don't know if the old MS Config had services, the tab or not. I'm not sure.
Hold on 1 second. No.
Yeah, it's in there somewhere.
And you've never installed Pest Patrol at all. The problem with Pest Patrol is that it's a common name. Yeah, there is a services tab, but Pest Patrol is a fairly common name, and unfortunately, it's also being used by a couple of actual viruses.
Yep. Well, anyways, I see it on my services. We saw it when we were trying to fix my other problem, and we unchecked it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just going to say that may work. I don't know.
Yeah, but just unchecking it out of services.
Now, I had XPV4 Home. Is there a button that says hide all Microsoft services on XP? On your system configuration, because that's what's cool about Vista.
Yes, there is.
Oh, okay. Yep. I couldn't remember. But anyways, that's how we fixed it. And how we fixed the Internet Explorer has stopped working is you have to go into services and uncheck AOL connectivity in safe mode, then reboot, Internet Explorer then comes up, and then go back into safe mode, check your AOL whatever, and then you can go on Internet Explorer and AOL.
I've also found a URL for a knowledge base at Microsoft to change the binding order of your network connections, which might help our earlier caller that was doing the dial-up to the office and broadband to home. So if you bind your Ethernet card first, it should do everything over broadband, and when it can't find your office stuff, it would then go to the modem.
Oh, good. And you'll post that on the on the thing.
And then another thing is when you go into, with Vista, if you go into safe mode, do the networking safe mode instead of safe mode. Go down one.
Right.
For the people. So anyways, just thought I'd tell you.
I appreciate that, Jim. Yep. Thank you very much.
And I'll try to get help for listening to the show.
There you go. It's a 12-step program. The first step is admitting you're a geek. Our next caller is Walter.
But keep listening.
Our next caller is Walter from Greece. Welcome, Walter. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Got a little problem. Two callers ago, we two are Ubuntu Linux users.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we find it great, but I got one major problem.
Uh-oh.
My father's website, Medicare Part D and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
That website uses only Internet Explorer. So therefore, you know, when I use Firefox, can't get at it, can't do anything.
Right.
I see through the forums and other things through Ubuntu. You can load on Internet Explorer through Wine HQ, and I guess there's some other stuff like IE for Linux.
Right.
Can you give me any idea what I should do? Because I don't want to go back to our Windows OS. I'd like to see if I can do something with Internet Explorer through Linux.
Right. You can run Wine. You can load Wine into Ubuntu. In fact, it's one of the packages that comes up in the Synaptic Package Manager. So all you have to do is click on it, say install, bang, all the dependencies are taken care of. It all loads instantaneously for you. So you're all good to go. And then you can download an older copy. There are older copies of Internet Explorer that are freestanding that you can download, and that will get you running IE under Ubuntu, and that should do you fine.
But there are some very few websites where you must use Internet Explorer under Windows or they will not work right, and we're trying to change that.
Yeah, it's just lazy programming on their part.
Yep.
We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 39 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 43 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Before we get back to the phones, Apple is recommending that iTunes users who want to upgrade to Vista wait for the next release, which will be available in the next few weeks. According to Apple, the new release will address a number of iTunes compatibility issues. And that's something that you need to worry about if you're upgrading your Windows PC to Windows Vista. You find that you suddenly can't play any more music that you've bought from the iTunes store. You need the Apple iTunes Repair Tool for Vista, which you can download from Apple's website. The iTunes Repair Tool is positioned as a last step tool for getting Vista to work with previously purchased iTunes Store songs. Apple's posted several tech notes explaining some of the issues and offered step-by-step instructions for users upgrading from Windows XP or 2000 to Windows Vista, and they recommend that you wait for that next release.
What you've got here that it's in 39,000 stores tomorrow, that's the final thing with the all the input received.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last year, we've been doing beta versions, and we'd update that. And
can I have this?
You bet.
What if I don't know how to use it?
Call me.
Bill Gates and John Stewart on the Daily Show.
And, Dan pointed that out. He said, what if I don't know how to use it? Call me.
Call me. Yeah, right.
And what's your phone number, Bill?
Yeah, right. When, call me and I'll get one of 100 million minions to come over to your house. I don't want to go there
and
myself.
One of the ironies is that Microsoft's own Zune player won't work under Vista.
Right. Right. And now the iPod will if you use the repair tool for Vista. It's just a million things that don't work under Vista yet.
And a lot of it's not even going to work until they come out with the first service pack, which, oh, by the way, won't be out until next year.
Right. Well, we may see it in December.
Drugs are you on?
For them, that's fast. Our next caller is Mike on a cell phone. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I had a Windows 98 for a while. I was running Works 2000 on it. No problems. I got a new computer. XP, and I put the Windows 2000 on there, and now every time I open a document, it changes the date to the current date.
Microsoft Works?
Yeah, like if I open up a letter, it changes the date.
There's a function in Microsoft Works that says insert current date versus insert the date now. So text that types, you know, February 4th, 2007, versus a function that says whatever the current date is, put that date in. So it sounds like you've put the function in and not the literal text in.
Right. The deal behind that is that really is supposed to be used for places like at the bottom of a history at the end of a document. It says last updated on, and that happens automatically, or printed on. Right. And that's what that's for. But it looks like you used the incorrect one. But you're saying it didn't do that beforehand.
It never did it before, and I didn't put anything in anywhere.
Well, so the date just seems to show up randomly in the document?
No, I'm saying if I start a new document,
all
right, I print a letter to somebody,
mm-hmm.
all right, the next time I go back to look at that letter, like if I want to make a copy of it, if I open it, the date on the letter and the notation, you know, in the window that lists all the projects, they both change to the current date.
Oh, you're not saying you're typing the date in the letter and that's changing?
No.
The date on the file changes.
The date on the file, when I open it, the date on the file and the date in the heading of the letter changes.
You're using the wizard to create a letter.
Right.
And that wizard puts in today's date.
Yep.
That wizard
puts in that function. No. When I use the wizard to create the letter, it puts in whatever date I want to put in there. But I'm saying, when I go back to it, say a month later, when I
yeah, and what I'm
file,
telling you is the wizard puts in that change.
Is overriding what you put in.
Right. If you use the wizard, that's what you get. You have to look at the codes, and I forget what that is in Works, some sort of reveal codes or show codes command, and then you'll be able to see the code that says today's date, current date.
And you might not.
And then you'd have to delete that.
And you might not have initially had it in your other operating system, but with installing it on XP, it turns it on. So you're going to have to do a little investigative work and, like Nick said, find out the reveal codes and change those settings.
I'm afraid I don't have that in my head. I don't use Work, so I'm not entirely sure where that would be. But that's what you have to do. You should be able to see the fields. Show fields, I think, is the command.
And things change the way they install 98 versus the
way
they install.
And so you need to find the fields and delete them.
Ampersand D is the code that puts in the current date.
Right.
Not the date that you type, but whatever. So when you open the file again, the date will change.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 49 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 53 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. One last sort of story for those of you who use the TomTom GPS. If you picked up one over the last couple of months or got one for Christmas, you may have bought more than you bargained for. TomTom International confirmed that some of its Go 910 devices have shipped with a virus pre-installed. That's free. You don't pay extra for it. The infected systems were all manufactured during a one-week period around October 2006, TomTom said in a statement posted to its website. They don't say how they managed to install malware on their products, but it warned that infected versions of Go will try to copy the malicious software to a PC when connected. They say it's low risk because it's been detected. It's a Trojan from last year, and it's detected by just about every single antivirus product. A small isolated number of systems are affected. So if you're running current antivirus, you should be fine.
And that's the same thing happened to Apple last year. One of their manufacturing plants had a virus, and it got put on some iPods.
Yep.
And it's almost worse that it's an old virus.
Yeah.
Why weren't your antivirus programs up to date in your manufacturing plants?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. They should be. Well, of course, they're Mac, so they don't need to run them. But apparently they do.
They have Windows machines that they test the Windows iPods on.
Right.
Because they all run on Macs or Windows. So those machines need to be protected.
Yes, they
especially from old viruses.
Yes, 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 they do. We've got time for another call or two. Our next caller is David from Spencerport. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Great show. I have an AOL account and recently upgraded, Microsoft XP 2000, and I downloaded Internet Explorer version 7.0. And since I've done that, whenever I try to launch AOL, I get a Microsoft V or C++ virtual runtime error.
Try uninstalling IE7.
I've done that. I've uninstalled all of the AOL software.
The IE7, you went and uninstalled that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. One other thing then, and it's still all messed up on you.
Yeah.
All right. If you can get the machine to start up in safe mode.
Okay.
And you go into, start programs, you go to system tools and restore.
Okay.
Now, you can select a restore point back the day before you installed IE7 and you were having all these issues.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Select that and restart the machine.
Okay.
That will take you back in to that point of time before IE was installed and all these other issues. Because it also changed something else besides just IE and your AOL having issues, that if you select an earlier start point, you should be okay.
All right. Super.
Okay.
Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Well, thank you. I think we have time. We've got a couple minutes left. Let's go to Frank in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Question regarding Ubuntu. Can I run that on a Pentium 3 500?
Yes.
Okay. And so what's the process? Do I need to buy it or do I
No, you don't have
it?
To buy it at all. You just go to ubuntulinux.org, I think it is. Hold on.
Okay.
Maybe just Ubuntu.org. Some of the Linuxes you can buy in a package.
Ubuntu.com.
That gives you a manual and an installation disk, and that's what you're paying for.
Right.
You don't have to do that for the Linuxes.
Right.
Okay, do you need to format the computer in a certain way before you install it?
No, it'll do all of that for you. Just download the CD, insert it. It's a live CD, so it actually comes up running, and one of the things on the desktop is to install it to your hard drive.
Okay.
Or actually, when you get it, you can select from the list just to install it on my hard drive.
Earlier, you were talking about the Clam antivirus. Is that something separate I need to download?
Nope. There's over 18,000 free packages that come with Ubuntu, and all you have to do is run what's called the Synaptic Package Manager, which is right on the systems menu choice under Administration. You click on Synaptic Package Manager. It'll ask you for your password just to make sure you're still you, and you can install any one of 18,000 programs absolutely free of charge.
So the so I can install a browser and
everything.
Email package, everything.
Yep.
And you recommended Clam for the antivirus. What about a browser?
Firefox is installed automatically.
Okay.
For email, Thunderbird is installed automatically. They both work insanely well, so that shouldn't be a problem at all. If you want, you can still run the old entire Mozilla web suite. If you want to run that, it's available there. So there's a bunch of stuff that's available.
And the Office comparable package is in there as well?
OpenOffice.org. It installs when you install the operating system. When you install that, you have a complete system with everything you would need and access to another 18,000 packages, all free of charge. We are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to those of you to whom we did not get. I specifically want to thank all the wacky people who were in the chat room this time around. I got to peruse, but I didn't get to play very much. I want to thank you all. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get.
The Bears.
Come earlier. What was that?
The Bears.
There you go. we'll be back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, who will be back to his porky old self. He was so sweet this week after a week of hanging out in the sun. We'll be back. My name is Nick Francesco. It's 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
The Bears.
Super Bowl 41.